I just want to say hello and good afternoon. Hope I can keep you awake after a nice full lunch on the last day of the conference here. So the title of the session is Extending Microsoft System Center 2012 R2 Operations Manager. Boy, it's a mouthful. But it's actually a session on Advisor, the new limited public preview for Advisor. And the official title is actually right, because Advisor is a attached service to Ops Manager, and therefore it extends its capability. Okay? So that's what you're here for. I think for most of you who are here from the overview session knows what I'm talking about already. So I was asking a gentleman over there if he wants to hear more strategic bullshit or roadmap, I should say, or more demo. He said more demo. So I'll try to keep these slides short and get through it quickly, okay? But one point I do want to emphasize is to say thank you. Daniel reminded me to say thank you to you. Because of you, Ops Manager is the most prevalent monitoring solution out in the market right now. So just want to give yourself a hand. You're a great set of professionals and a strong community together. And this session is about how we can bring more power to you through the power of attached services. Now, delivering value to you through attached service is great. It's a win-win for both of us. Okay? Here's why. You invested time in deploying, hopefully, the 2012 R2 Ops Manager deployment, taking time to learn its concept, tweaking and tuning the software to its optimal performance level, and you're an expert on this thing right now. The last thing you need is the engineering team coming to you and say, here's a brand new architecture, let me just completely muck up your deployment. I don't think most people like that. That's why you always wait until R2 before you upgrade. So we want to keep this R2 longer. Okay? We're like, make this the third version and fourth version, not reset it back to one anytime soon. However, we still want to deliver value to you. How can we do that? Well, we're doing it through two ways. One is that Ops Manager is a brilliant architecture. We can deliver value to you through management packs. Management packs are delivered out of band to you, and Danielle's butt is online to keep giving more to you on and on. So if you've got a problem with that, just call him. His email address is danielle.savage@microsoft.com. Feel free to send email to him, to harass him, if you don't get enough value. You pay for it, you should get what you want. So, yeah. But he's the man that is responsible for that. Now, my team, on the other hand, wants to also give you value through another angle, and that is attached service. Attached service is basically a way of delivering functionality to you in a decoupled fashion. So what you're going to see later is just how simple it is to just onboard to Advisor. I literally grabbed John. Where's John? John from United Healthcare. John, where's John? Where'd John go? Oh, what are you doing all the way back there? Okay. So I grabbed that guy yesterday in the hall, and I asked him, have you onboarded yet? He was like, no. I was like, what are you doing? Like, walking around the hall, on board right now. So we grab a desk, and literally he just hit a button, and his Ops Manager deployment is onboarded. Just one single click. It's that simple. And it opens up a whole new world to him, and we're going to show you what that looks like. So in a nutshell, if you are already an Advisor, System Center Advisor customer already, you need to start from a clean slate. Okay, you need to start from a clean slate, because what we're delivering to you is a brand new set of capabilities. But let me just walk back to last year at MMS 2013. Last year, that was the year where we shipped the advisor connector for ops manager at the MMS conference last year. That is the key component that enables the attached scenario to work. Before we ship that component, advisor is kind of like a standalone service where you have to download some agent bits and kind of like deploy it over an agent that you already have, and you're wondering how that works. And it's kind of like we really just detect that you have an agent and we're adding a connector there and make it connect to the cloud, something like that, okay? And so we said that's messy. Let's give people a connector so that through a single click, they can connect Ops Manager to the cloud. So with that in place, our engineering team worked really hard to deliver these new set of capabilities to you. But to sum it up in two words, the base functionality is what we call log analytics. That's the basic functionality, okay? It allows you to collect massive amount of machine data up into the cloud so that you can use what we call a search experience, log search experience, to slice and dice and find data in your environment. And on top of that base functionality, we're also building specific solution for specific problem domains such as capacity, malware protection, and just like our management pack ecosystem is going to grow, okay? I hope there'll be, you know, hundreds of intelligence pack in the future to add value to your environment. And the primary principle behind the design of Advisor is speed. We want experience to be fast. We want experience to be fluid. We want the experience to be responsive anywhere you are in the page. No matter how much data you got up in the cloud, we want that to be fast and fluid, and that it will run on any device. That's why we redesigned basically the entire portal in HTML so that you can run it on mobile device, tablets, or any laptops. Now, someone commented in Twitter yesterday saying that, oh, there's still some Silverlight's view left in Advisor. That is a big fail. And yes, there are still some, you know, legacy views that still runs in Silverlight, but all of the new scenarios are completely designed in HTML. And we'll move to a full HTML experience version. It's just a small portion of the experience. So just in case someone read that Twitter feed, I just don't want it to be overblown, you know. No big deal. Okay, so that's my strategic talk. Does anyone have any question on the strategic roadmap of this thing, or you want to see some demo? Yeah. Demo, all right, let's go. Demo. Okay. Oh, I forgot this analogy. Completely forgot about it because my guys keep telling me that not to use this, but I think, you know, you guys are a smart group of people, okay? You're gonna get this. I came up with this phrase. We want to make Advisor like calculus to you so that you can unravel your own theory of gravity. Yeah? No? Everybody knows who Newton is? No, it's like, you guys suck. Just go back and watch some more Big Bang Theories or something. Okay, all right, let's get on with the demo. Okay, so first up, I'm just going to walk through two end-to-end scenario real quick. Danielle is going to stop me at any time because I have an allocated set amount of time, and basically that's all we have agreed upon. It's basically interface-based, our entire talk. So we agreed that I get like, you know, 20, you know, so minute. The next guy comes up and going to kick me off the stage no matter where I am. Then he's going to do his demo and so forth. So hopefully I can finish this in time. So I'm just going to show you two end-to-end log analytics scenario through the log management intelligence pack right here. So you're looking at the overview a page right here, and Danielle is going to walk you through the details of that later on how that works. Actually, it will be Satya. So The first thing that you notice is that I have about 7.6 million events in this environment. 7.6 million events. When I was constructing this demo a couple of weeks ago, it was at 3 million. Okay, this thing just keeps on growing. It never stops. And but my demo experience doesn't change. It's still as fast and fluid as it was a couple of weeks ago. So let's dive in. Oh, where's my UI dev lead? He suck. Oh, there he is. They're over vigilant on security, so it's always like, you know, timing you out. But okay. So I'm in here. So let's walk through the scenario a little bit. So for the first demo, I'm going to show you how you can use Advisor with group policies. Okay. So why did I pick group policy? That is because in Windows Server 2012, the group policy team apparently added a lot of logging events into the system to help their end users troubleshoot problems. I actually read that from TechNet. I didn't call up the group policy guys. I mean, they're like three floors down. That's too far away. So I thought, like, I was reading off TechNet. I was like, this is great, you know, for Advisor, for the demo, because we get to collect a lot of events from it and get to show you how it works. And so here's my environment. This is my environment. Okay. Yep, this is my environment. I got a domain set up in Azure. These are all Azure VMs. You can see that everything is named Bacon. The domain name is called Baconland. The cloud server is called Bacon Cloud, and all the VMs are called Bacon whatever. So the story behind this is that when I was creating a demo, I was really hungry. And I was thinking about, I'm coming to Texas, and all I can think about was barbecue and ribs. But Danelli also already took the name Barbecue Ribs for the server. We love to use food name for our servers. So I got to think of something else. And Tigran, my PM right here, reminded me that I really love prosciutto. So I said, like, oh yeah, prosciutto is great. I'm going to name my servers prosciutto. And now Satya came by, and he's going to come up to talk later. This guy has a less sophisticated palate. So, you know, he doesn't get the prosciutto stuff. You give him a $100 filet mignon, and he's going to put A1 steak sauce on that and eat it. And now, he may eat like a caveman, but there's practical wisdom in telling me that you should not go with prosciutto, just use the word bacon. Because they're the same thing, right? It was like, no. Yeah, they couldn't hear you without the mic, so too bad. Yeah. So for those who are offended because you also like A1 steak sauce, like Satya, I hope you understand that was just a joke. I have the utmost respect and admiration for people who like steak sauce. So please don't file any complaints and or add hateful messages into the comments when you're doing eval. So back to the demo. Okay, let's dive in. So I got this domain, and I have set up one simple group policy object in the domain. And what it does is it's supposed to apply some firewall rules, changes, and it got a single startup script that, you know, just do something when the server start up. You know, pretty basic, plain vanilla thing here. And what I want to know is that after I apply that, is everything working, right? Now, I only got 7 servers in the environment, so no big deal. But if you multiply that by 1,000, then you got some headache here. So let's see how Advisor can help you. First of all, I actually got a number of management groups connecting to this Advisor account. So if I click the field management group names and I scroll down to look at it here, you can see that I got 4 different management groups. Okay, this one is for Danelli. That's the barbecue management group that he took from me. some random server that Satya uses. You have no taste. He's like naming some random number in here. And then there's bacon management group. That's my bacon. So let's select that. And boom. I just cut down from 2 million events down to close to 500,000 of events just with a single click. Because now the scope of what I'm looking at just came from everything down to just the bacon management group. So the next thing that I'm going to do is that, because I want to look at group policy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look up at source. Let's see what type of different event sources I have. I have WMI activity. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Group policy, that's what I'm looking for. Let's click that. Okay, now I'm down to 37,000 events. That's quick. Okay, so let's dive in and see what we've got here. Got some events. That's pretty much what I should be looking at, right? Yeah, okay. So these are the right group policy events, just to show you that we're looking at the right thing. And I actually don't know a lot about the group policy events. I just read the intro paragraph in the TechNet article and decided that I'm going to do this demo. So I don't know the events at all. Let's see how Advisor can help me actually look at the events. So I'm looking at an event here, and it says, like, hey, you actually like look up the reference for this particular article. So let me just click that and see where it brings me. Okay, oops. Can I click that? Okay. So after I click that, what happens is it opens up a page that gives me searches on what that particular event is about. And so if I open up this particular article, it talks about troubleshooting group policy using event log, which is actually what I am looking for. And let me see. There's some event ranges here. So that's educational. So these event ranges tells me when things are started, different warnings, different errors, and success. Well, let's look at success first. Let's look at and see if my group policies are successfully being applied. So if I look at here, it says from the range of 8,000 to 8,007, that's where the group policy engine will tells me that an instance of group policy completes successfully. So that's good. So let me just copy this out and go back to my search screen here. And I'm going to type event ID 8,000 to 8,007. Let's hit that. Okay, so that's encouraging. I'm getting some success applied here. But, you know, this is just too much information. I just want to see if it applies to the computers that I want it to apply to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pipe it over. I'm going to tell it and say, just count these events for me by computer. Ah, okay, that's interesting. So it's telling me that there are 7 servers that return to me, and the domain controller at the top, BaconDC01, got the most event, which is logical, that's the domain controller. And it seems like all the other servers have some, you know, success event rolling in as well. So that's encouraging. But, you know, it's kind of weird. How come there's like different distributions? Some get more and some get less. What's going on? So I don't know if I can trust this 8,000 to 8,007 range information that I read in the article. So another way for me to look at this information is actually just, you know, deleting this filter right here and look at the event level name, okay, which tells me if there's informational event, error event, and warning event. Now, these things on the right-hand side are called facets. Facets are actually counts of different values for a field that Advisor already knows about, okay? So it presents you with this set of event counts distribution, by different field values, so you can see that whether you got different values for a particular property. Okay, we can also do this by time at the top, so you can see that I'm getting like significantly more events in the last 2 days. Once I arrive in Houston, I'm just kind of like jacked the thing up to create more events for me to search from. And before that, it was sort of quiet. So you can actually see how my activity changed over time. But getting back to the demo, I can see that I got some error events. So that's not good, because I just want to know that if things are successful. But seeing that there's some error event shows to me that things are not going well. So let me just click on that and see what computers does it apply to. So after I apply that filter, the other facets will also change accordingly and tell me that because I'm now focused on error, it tells me that these are the computers in which there are failure occurring. Two failure events for server 5 and server 6, and one each for 2 and 3. Okay. So I was like, okay, so this is not a whole lot of events here. I think I can deal with it. I want to look at it in one go. So because the event is so long by itself, it's kind of hard to see everything in one screen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just filter for computer, event ID, and rendered description. Okay, so that's much easier to read because I've just reduced the field. And what I've noticed here is a pattern. All of them got the same freaking error. Something about the script not right. Okay, so I know one thing. I'm only calling this script when I am doing a reboot or start during a startup of a server. And just to make sure that things are actually happening the way it is, I just want to confirm that there's a reboot that happened around that time. So let me see. I'm looking at, let's try server 05, okay? So I'm going to select server 05 here. Add that to the filter. Okay, so that's good. Got zero server 5 here. And the time is Thursday, May 15, 11:41. So that's when a reboot had occurred. And so what I'm going to do is the following. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take away the other filters. I'm not looking at group policy anymore. Take that away. There you go, my delete key is stuck. Okay. And another thing that I'm going to do is to zoom in into this time frame right here, okay? So I'm going to click right into here. And I remember that it was around 11 o'clock, so I'm going to zoom in some more. Okay. And if I look at these events right here, and I still get about 1,000 events. That's still too much. Let's try to zoom this down a little bit more. If I want to know if a reboot happened, I should be looking at the system log. So I click on system to zoom in some more. Okay, that's good. Now I'm down to 185. And if I start from the beginning, I can see that, looks like some of the service was starting here. But I know for a fact that event log started is something that would happen when a reboot occurs. And so 11:41 was the time, and I can see that a reboot happened at that time. So that explains it. So actually what the problem is that if I go to the domain controller right here, I would see that the script was actually renamed to something else. So the group policy on the domain controller can actually grab the script and distribute it out to the server. And that's why there is a problem. So we look at the group policy right here, startup script. There's the bacon batch.bat. And if I click on show file, I rename it, so that's why it failed, okay? And advisor picked that up. So what you notice is that I was, in the last few minutes, slicing across 7.5 million events with great speed, with ease, with no trouble pivoting from one field to another, from one group to another. Everything is simple and smooth, okay? So that's the part that I want to just emphasize on. And am I out of time already?
A little bit.
Yeah. I got one more. No.
The clock now, but you can
fine. All right.
Say the thing. The architecture thing.
Maybe I'll find enough time to. Oh, the
you
architecture,
want to the architecture thing before we move on to this other piece.
Yeah, I should actually talk about the architecture.
Yeah.
You have to give me that time.
Right, that's fine.
But I lost the
control.
I was checking
also if my computer was still connected to the other machine I need to go to. And
all right. So ooh, this is something good. I almost forgot. I completely don't remember all of the slides. All I remember is demo. So, is Lawrence here? Oh, my buddy Lawrence. Okay. So Lawrence is a database administrator. Well, actually, a lot of you heard it on the overview session the other day. But I'm still excited about it. Lawrence was, I'm the only one looking at it. Come on, guys, you have reminded me. Jesus, useless people sitting down there. Lawrence sent me this email on 11 o'clock on Wednesday night after on Wednesday night, right? Wednesday. Today is Thursday. After onboarding advisor at our product booth, and he was using the log analytics stuff to slice across his event and already found some problem in his environment. He onboarded about 300 servers in a click. So that was really easy, and they really find value for that. So Lawrence is a DBA, and his buddy Mitch was with him, and they work for a global law firm, and they find this really useful. So just want to share this with you so you don't have to take my word for it. So where's Beth? There's Beth. Yeah. Beth wants to look at this slide, which is how it works, especially from a data flow and privacy angle. Okay? So I'm going to really quickly walk you through how Advisor works. Because you're connecting to the cloud and you want to know a little bit more about the guts and the details, right? Now, the first thing I'm going to emphasize is that the primary scenario we're dealing with here is to use your Ops Manager deployment to connect to the cloud, okay? I've been reading the feedback so far in Advisor, and there are folks who are trying to onboard their standalone advisor agents to the advisor preview program. That doesn't work. It requires Ops Manager, okay? Specifically 2012 SP1 or 2012 R2. Okay, that's what is required. Now Tigran has been hackling to tell me that you should encourage people to use the 180 days demo if they're not trying that. And we were discussing that, we're not convinced that people are going to try it. But so we're letting you anyway. If you want to try Advisor and you don't have SCOM, just download the 180 days free trial and use that, okay? Now, I really shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Your data is going to be collected from the free trial into, another free trial in the cloud. The data is going to be saved in the cloud. And if your 180 days expires, just rebuild that, because you have the data in the cloud already, right? And you rebuild it, and then the data will keep getting sent to the cloud again. So you can just do this on and on, just for fun, okay? You don't do this for your production environment. I know you guys are good, honest people, so I'm not going to do that. But I just want to give you, ongoing fun, right? Okay, so you can have multiple of these management groups connected to the cloud, any number you want, 10, 20, 30, doesn't really matter. The test team is going to kill me for this. I think they have tried 15 or something like that. But now, the management server is the primary connection point or the proxy point that connects to the advisor cloud service. There's an HTTP-based module that Mark's team right here wrote to connect to advisor. And this thing is really reliable and high performance, because it's Mark's team who built it. And we use a certificate-based authentication method to talk to the cloud. And everything that communicates over the channel is encrypted via SSL. Once the data arrives at the cloud itself is run by a professional team of operational engineers. They are the only group of authorized personnel who can touch the production service. They follow strict policies and procedures to handle the system that runs in the cloud. We as an engineering team actually don't get to touch that. Any changes that occurs has to be tracked, audited, and logged. So hopefully we won't have a lot of problem because opening those tickets is really manually intensive. Labor intensive, I should say. It just makes your finger really strong. And so everything is saved there and is tracked. Now, how about the data itself? Because we're a multi-tenant environment, what we actually do is that rather than pile all of your data into a single storage, we actually open a separate Azure storage account for each customer. Okay, each customer account would get a separate Azure storage account. So your data goes in there, and that's where it is processed. And the communication between the advisor service and the Azure Blob Storage is done via the Azure Secure Authentication Service to storage. And finally, when you're viewing the data from the portal, again, we use certs based off to communicate with advisor and use SSL there to make sure that everything over the wire is encrypted and safe. Even the components within our service, so there are many components within Advisor, all data that is traveling across the wire are always encrypted. They were never left any piece of machineries without encryption. So that's a summary of how this works. We're putting together an FAQ document on data privacy with a little bit more detail in it, so it'll be available for download soon. We're trying to making sure that all the checkpoints are checked and get that posted to you. So that whether your legal department or security team wants to look at it, you have that available. Okay, so this is really quick. Again, is available right now. There's no cost to participate. And since yesterday, we've reached our target goal already. I'm calling the team back in there and telling them, don't shut the gate. There are people that are listening to this session today. I need to give them one more chance. But we actually hit our target in the last 24 hours already for the limited preview program. So there's discussion about when do we close the gate. So you want to hurry and get in right now. And your feedback counts. Feedback is really, really important. We read it every day. I read it, I check it like every 5 minutes, except for now. But any other time, I check it like every 5 minutes to see what's up. And there's a special surprise for you at the end because we listened to your feedback and we actually acted on something. So that's cool. The pink shirt guy is going to come up. And you get to drive this service with us. You get to drive this development with us. You're in control, okay? Your feedback controls how we engineer the product, and you see those updates every month. It's super duper exciting. This is gonna be fun. Okay, Danielle, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joseph.
I'll be back. I still got a set menu.
So, let me switch to my other screen. I'm gonna show you now how to onboard. You've seen a URL on the slide a minute ago. And we have this I Want Advisor, just for the people here at TechEd. You can get a spot reserved even when we will close the gates. We'll track this list. So you just give us your details so we can contact you back. And this will reserve a spot for you because you have been in this call. But right now, the sign up is still open, so it's redirecting me to the new preview page with the onboarding instructions. And I see that I have a procedure if I'm a current advisory user versus if I'm an existing advisory user, what I need to do. I, of course, need to have credentials. They can be Microsoft accounts, Live ID, or organizational accounts, formerly known as Org ID. And then I need to run Operations Manager 2012 SP1 or R2 with the latest cumulative update. That's actually not true. It works already with the one before the latest, but the latest, of course, is always better. So if you are on SP1, UR5 is good, but you can also be on UR6. And if you are on R2, UR1 is fine, but of course UR2 is better and greater. And after that, you follow this instruction. So you go back to your on-premises environment. And here I have this barbecue rib management group that Joseph mentioned earlier. The first time, if you have never attached Operations Manager to Advisor, you will see a link that says configure. Now, since I've already, I've already attached this management group in the past, it's telling me to reconfigure. The flow, it's identical in any case, whether I'm configuring it for the first time or reconfiguring it again, so I can show you how this looks like. And again, I can use different credentials. In this case, I will be using my Live ID, but many enterprise customers, of course, have told us that they prefer Windows Azure Active Directory or organizational accounts. You probably already have one of those. If you're using either Office 365 or Intune or Azure, you probably have some of these identities. Otherwise, the Microsoft account, in this case, is the more consumer version of our identities. And I will log on with my user. And at this point, once I log on, I get this drop-down that makes me allows me to do a couple of things. I can either type a new account name. This is my new account, for example. Or if I already have existing accounts, they will show up that I have access to. They can show up in this drop-down. Now, Joseph earlier made a point about having multiple management groups pouring data into the same advisor account. That's obviously fantastic. It's like the data warehouse scenario. You can combine data from multiple pieces of your infrastructure and see them at a glance in a single place with a single slicing and dicing capabilities. But at the same time, you might even want to separate in some cases. Maybe you have a pre-production set of machines, management groups, and a production one, or staging, different environments. And in that case, it can make sense to have separate accounts. Being in preview status, so seeing the limited preview capabilities or not, is actually a property of the account itself. So you can have some legacy advisor accounts and some preview advisor accounts. And when you switch between the two, you'll be redirected to the old versus new portal, essentially. So now I'm simply reconnecting this machine to the environment, to the account it was already connected to previously, because I don't want to break my environment while demoing it for you. And that's all I need to do. When I click update, or this will be called save or closed when you do it the first time, certificates get generated, stored as run as accounts securely in the system, and they'll start in exchange with the service, and they will start being used to then connect to the service. That's all you need to do, and after this procedure is done, you are connected, essentially. Once you are connected, the second step is to go and take which agents of your infrastructure you want to participate to the advisor attach. For example, it's saving. This is an important step, and it's to set up the security mechanism that Joseph was talking about a second earlier. When this will be done, I'll be able, okay, it's finished. I will be able to go and show you how you can add computers or groups that you already have defined in Ops Manager, and essentially that link takes you to this advisor managed section in the administration pane where you can list all your agents that you want to add and participate. You do it via this dialogue, and you can, of course, nest group. For example, if you pick a dynamic group you already have, all the new machines that will populate, they will start participating in the advisor scenarios. So that's all that needs to be done on premises. Once you've done this, you're basically set up to go. An account is already created there for you, and something's starting to be sent for the old advisor scenario. So I can come back to my instructions, and after I have done the on-premises steps, I can simply go and sign in. Well, I can do this right now, and I will sign in with the same credentials I used previously, which is not this, but is another user that I prefer using. Now I have multiple accounts, the same ones I was seeing before. Now this, as a matter of fact, it's already upgraded, so for the sake of demo, I'll pick another one, which is this I prepare for TechEd, so this is actually a legacy account. This is not in preview yet. It's like, and I get asked, do you want to try the new version or you want to stay on the current version? Since I want to show you how this works, I will go ahead and try preview. This is a non-reversible operation for this account, but you can eventually open a new account if you want more the legacy functionality again for some reason. We don't understand if by why you want to do that, but it's going to be good. Now, once the account is converted, and this is what I see. This is my empty new account. So I have the configuration assessment, which represents the first tile on the left, which represents the old configuration assessment scenario that the current advisor version already offers. And I see the log management that's telling you, well, you really need to collect some logs. You need to tell me which logs you want to pull up. You saw that, Joseph, we were collecting many logs in the other environment, like group policy and other things. But by default, we don't pull up any log. You need to tell us which one. We have this quick info, which essentially is a guided tour of the new portal with a couple of information, things that we are talking about right here, but they can give you some more info about that, and an intelligence pack gallery that Satya will talk about later, and finally search. Now, let's see how, and the usage style will show how much data you're actually sending to us. The log management, so let's set up some logs. Here is very simple experience. We wanted to keep this simple. We wanted to keep this simpler, the traditional authoring in Operations Manager, and just have a very, very clear policy. So yeah, what I need to do is to type my event log name, and I get to select which severity I want to pull up, and then I save. That's all I need to do. In case I don't know my log names, I know that some people are wondering about that. We have already heard it. All you need to do from your Windows machine, even all these strange hierarchical logs that Windows has introduced over time, if you want to collect from this log, okay, I don't have data right now here, but you get the point, I can just look at properties, the full name you see in Windows Event Viewer, that's the name we want in there. That's all you need to do, very simple. So once you start, we will start collecting some data. So now that I've set up a configuration in the system, the tile changes. Behavior, and it's telling me, okay, now I got a policy, now wait a minute, a few minutes, and we'll send down the policy down to on-premises and start collecting those logs. So to show you how it looks like after a while, after logs start being collected, now we'll switch back to another account which has plenty of data, the one that Joseph was using earlier. Actually, let me go full screen. And here I am again, and let's explore what's in log management. Joseph showed you some specific scenario around group policy. I want to just give you a glimpse of some more capabilities of the syntax, what's available in here. So we offer also some sample queries to guide you into some of the of common operations you might want to perform with the data. The basic operation is I'm querying for a type. All the data in our system has a type, and event is the one that represents the event logs. And we will see later some other types. I can also add keywords. So for example, I want to understand when did my machine reboot? I can't really remember in which log is written, which event ID it is. I honestly don't have that much memory to remember. So just let me type naturally, shut down, and see what comes down. OK, so the search is already narrowed down to a couple of thousand results, which is already better. And then by looking maybe at the event logs, I don't think it's a task scheduler, and I doubt it's going to be application, so probably it's system. I can revert the change anyway if it's wrong, but this adds criteria to the query for me using those facets. When I've identified looking at some of these events, to spot the one I'm looking for, the one that indicates an actual machine shutdown, I seem to be getting all from some other source. Actually, this source is annoying me. There is a lot of application pool shutdown, IIS. I don't really care about those. I'm searching for machine shutdowns. So I first add this, which of course gives me only the application pool shutdown. I know it's counterintuitive, but now I'll tell you what I'll do. And now I actually want to see everything else. So I add the not to this criteria. And just in case since I have multiple filters, I add the parentheses around the criteria, so I'm sure that it only applies to that. Now I have everything else that is not from the WAS source. And now I actually see that the process initiated the computer shutdown on behalf of this user. Oh, this is the event I was looking for. Cool. So then I know the right source is user 32, and the right event ID is going to be this 1074. And at this point, I can even get rid of the word, because maybe I have some of these events in a localized language. Maybe it's not English, and I might not be pulling them in. So this is going to be more precise. And I can have a query that's more specific for the machine. I can also look as how many, where did it happen? So we have commands. The first part of the query we have seen so far, before I added the pipe, is really a filter. It's narrowing down results. Now, after a pipe sign, we can do operations, apply commands on this data. Joseph has used already this count, and I want to see which computer has been rebooted. And this is an interesting view. But I also that I see in the time control. Now, the time control now shows me some intervals that changes dynamically based on what range I'm observing, just to make it nice and pretty to see. But I can also group, rather than by a field, by saying by interval, one day. And this is actually, if I then sort by time, giving me exactly how many reboots have been happening by day. I need to maybe twist the screen this way to see it properly, but you get the point. And I might want to only observe this behavior on a specific machine, maybe the domain controller. Where has been the controller been rebooted? Only on the 13th of May, not in any other day. So you see how this is powerful. Before, we were using facets for just unique values, like strings, computer name. I have, you know, a certain set of unique computer names. But time is a bit more interesting dimension that I can use with hours or days, and I can get counts in that fashion. We also have additional commands. For example, I might want to... So let's go back to the raw results, now that I understood the machine a bit rebooting. And let me expand again the selection to something larger, just for the sake of illustration of some. Okay, so let's get some more results. Now, within those results, you'll notice that they're always sorted by time, the newest on top. I can invert the selection, or I can sort by any additional field. So the time, which is expressed in a fancy manner up here, is actually a field called time generated, which is stamped on every piece of data we have. So I want to stamp by time generated, and I want to have an ascending view rather than a descending view, so to see the oldest events on top rather than the newest one. And maybe I want to pick the top five from that. So you see how easy it is. And one other thing, when modeling this language, now this is still an early version, so we will enhance in the language, we will add more capabilities, and I'll show you some more. We haven't finished. But one key point I want to bring across here is the filter part is just essentially searching in fields or in keywords in the data and narrowing down the results. After the pipe, all the commands are typically verbs. Those verbs, we have strived to use the exact same verbs that are used in PowerShell, that many of you probably use every day. We have sort, where, measure, things like that. So they should kind of resonate, I hope, with what you could be already using in your day-to-day investigations or script on administrational activities. As I said, we have additional types in the system. So if I do this star, it really gives me, this is a very expensive query. Please don't do it very often, on large sets of time for now. But this gives me everything in the system, and I can see what types are there. You're right. But I have a nice error handling that tells me now that the syntax is wrong, and the aggregated function count doesn't exist, which makes total sense. And so I can correct my query. And I see we have events, performance, updates, alerts, a lot of things in the system. So let's explore performance, maybe. Performance is a very interesting one because I don't really want to see them as numbers. I mean, yeah, I could be looking at what the exact value was and maybe even use the grid visualization we have to see them in tabular format. This can be useful, but we think it's prettier to see it as charts, right? This is a natural way to see performance counters over time that you probably are used to, and we have tooltips and a whole lot to go and tell you what the value was at the specific time. So this is actually very interesting for exploration. It doesn't stop at that, because now that I can maybe filter, let me look at all the processor time there must be usually a total. Okay, let's pick the total instance name. See, I'm narrowing down just to all the processor time total for all my machines, and now I want to use measure, but in a different way. I want to ask it to give me an average of the value. It's called sample value, which you can look up by looking at the raw data at the bottom, not in the chart. So down here, I was looking at sample value is the name of the actual number, by object display name, which in this case represents the computer name for performance counters. This is more of a operations manager specific. And now I get over this period of time, which is very large, so 7 days maybe isn't that great to calculate an average over 7 days, but I might want to shrink it over the last small period, like a couple of hours, to see what was happening recently and what my top CPU consumers are on the environment. And I see that this host is actually having an average of almost 22% of CPU, and maybe even set a threshold on it. So I pipe this command even to a more refined command, and I ask where my aggregate value is beyond, above, let's say 15, which should only give me the 21. So you see how easy it is? You like it? Okay, one last thing. There is much more in the syntax, and we will be adding more. Every page in the portal has a help button very prominent on the right-hand corner, and every page takes you to a different piece of our documentation on TechNet. We are updating the documentation, so some pages will be changed in the next few days. You'll see them updating. The one for search in particular takes you to this page where the full syntax reference currently supported is posted, and you can read it all, and there are examples you can copy-paste and use right away to be productive immediately. And I think Satya's going to kick me out because I'm also running late. And please welcome, and Satya will show you the rest.
Those were some awesome demos. Good afternoon. You guys need to wake up a bit more. Say, good afternoon. Awesome. My name is Satya, like the CEO. My wife is eagerly awaiting for HR to make a mistake, and so I can add a couple of more zeros to my paycheck. But until then, I guess I'll need to be the second best CEO at Microsoft. So, over the last couple of months, I spoke to a lot of you all in the room today, trying to understand what were some of the key challenges with operational investigations. And two key things always came up. One was trying to collect and correlate all your data to get meaningful insights into operational investigations. And the second one was actually getting the operational data to get meaningful insights onto some of the historical data that you were collecting as well. I hope Joe and Daniele showed you how, with our log management and search capabilities, we've now helped the whole operational investigation experience. So you no longer need to RDP onto multiple boxes or try to run scripts to collect the Windows event logs and like the other custom application logs. We now give you this single centralized portal, which is extremely fast, that lets you start your problem investigation from one central point. It is a super important thing to emphasize, and I know a lot of system admins, one of the major roles that they play is trying to troubleshoot issues, so we hope you see the potential in this. While search is great, I'm a pretty visual guy myself, and I love getting more insights into historical data and trying to answer some critical questions, such as, what is my capacity utilization like? Are the servers in my environment patched? Do they have the necessary service packs? And is there malware on my system, right? Is it a common thing we hear from customers is the chief information officer always comes down to system admins and says, hey, I got these third-party teams to run some scan tools,
and you know, now you have this malware on your systems. How do we, as system admins, be more proactive about it? And we've created this concept of intelligence packs to address some of these key scenarios, such as capacity planning, patch assessment, and checking your anti-malware malware updates on your system as well. So I'm going to go and show you the three intelligence packs and show you how we're addressing some of these critical scenarios a lot of you guys have expressed about. So what you'll notice, this is our new HTML5 portal. Like Joe said, this works on both your desktop, your tablet, and phone, and you get this one consistent experience regardless of which device you go into. The first scenario I'm going to talk about is capacity planning. One thing we've always heard from a lot of you guys is, you know, you spend a lot of time trying to collect all this data, dump it into Excel, and then you try to use your own, you know, systems to do projections on this data. But we made this task a lot simpler with our capacity intelligence pack. So here, for example, we look at the number of VMs created over time, and based on our algorithm that we use, we actually do these projections automatically for you. So based on the VMs created and the number of resources remaining, we actually can project and tell you how many VMs that you have remaining in your environment and how many days you have till you run out of capacity. A lot of times when, you know, the business units come and talk to IT, they always talk in terms of VMs. They never come and say, hey, I need X amount of cores or this amount of memory. They're always coming and say, hey, I need another 50 VMs. And so this is kind of one of those things that we really paid attention to and try to make that whole process easier by giving you this projection based on VMs and the number of days left in the environment. In addition, we've actually broken out each of the key KPIs for capacity planning. So for example, I tell you what is the compute available in your environment, as well as what is the storage capacity in your environment. So over here, what you'll notice is I can easily drill into another additional view where you can now see the physical cores that are remaining. We tell you how much is used, how much is free, and more importantly, something that's always missing is how much the host is using. It's something that not a lot of us actually take into account, and this is something, again, we do automatically for you in your environment. And we do this both for your cores as well as your memory. We provide you some additional information, such as what are your top hosts with the highest CPU utilization, memory utilization. In addition, we also do projections for each of your core, your key KPIs. So we tell you, you know, what is your core utilization over time, and when will you run out of cores, or when will you run out of memory in your environment. And what's great about all this information is we actually let you slice and dice it in the console as well. So if you have your both your production and your pre-production data both merged inside, you can actually now go and filter by a specific host group. So if you have a prod host group, you can see capacity projections for that specific prod host group, or you can do this for your pre-prod environment as well. In addition, this is, again, I made this comment in one of our sessions yesterday. This is, think of this as like the big data warehousing system, right? So now you can look at your capacity data for the last 7 days, for the last couple of months, or even for the last year. So we give you this flexibility where you can go back in time or look at this data for the last year and do some projections for your capacity based on that. Another key scenario that we lit up is around efficiency. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but in Microsoft, our IT department goes and leases, you know, compute and storage to various other different teams. And what generally happens is these teams will use it for a couple of weeks, and then they stop using those VMs. And what happens is these VMs become unclaimed resources, and we end up having to go buy additional hardware to support the new businesses that want hardware. This is a view that helps answer that specific question, which is, you know, how many of my VMs are idle? How many of them are using less than 10% CPU or 10% memory? How many of them are turned off? Right, this is huge savings for companies because now you can actually go and reclaim these resources and provide them to other teams in your organization. In addition, we also tell you what are the hot VMs or the hot hosts. So what VMs are using over 90% CPU or 90% memory, so you can go take some actions around them to either move those VMs to different hosts or, you know, do some other load balancing in your environment. So giving you this nice, like really rich, one central capacity planning view for your entire environment. I would be happy to take your question at the end. We're running out of time. I'll be happy to take it, though. The other capacity planning exercise that we do, and this is something that none of our competitors do today, is storage capacity planning. Right? So here, for example, I'll tell you the available disk space that's available and how much is being used. In addition, I actually tell you what is some of the performance metrics for that environment. So you're not only looking at the capacity planning side, but we bring the relevant performance data as well, so you can see this information side by side. So for example, I show you the throughput for that particular disk, the latency as well, and you can get a good idea of how your environment is running from both a capacity standpoint and also get those key performance indicators as well. We also give you a breakdown of the top disks used by hosts. But you know, me being an IT pro, one of the key things I love doing and my favorite tool is using Excel to further slice and dice this data. And so one of the cool features and probably one of my favorite features is this export to Excel functionality that we have. So for example, if I have a question in mind such as, hey, I want to know which hosts have, you know, are using a lot of a disk space and have a high latency, and it's not something that our view actually shows us, I can export this data into Excel and do some very cool functions to actually answer that question. So here, for example, I'm going to take all this data. I'm going to export it to Power Pivot, another favorite tool of mine. And what you'll notice here, I can easily start clicking something. So I can say, hey, I want to see the host. I want to see the use space. And I want to see the latency for the environment, for example, right? So I can get this data here. And in addition, I can do some smart things where I can say, hey, show me the latency data as a line chart and show me the use space as a bar chart. And so I can actually just plot this out really easily. So again, in 2 minutes, I had a question in my mind, and now I could export this data into Excel and really answer some of these critical questions. And you know, if you need to actually share this data with your upper management team or your leadership team, again, you can Excel provides some great functionality where you can, you know, skin the data that's there and build your custom reports to share it out as well. So, was that pretty good? For my next scenario, you know, I was going back to when I spoke to a lot of you guys around conversations that the CISO has with y'all about, hey, you know, I need to know if the servers are patched. I need to know if they have the necessary service packs or the latest patch, or you know, if anti-malware is running on all those servers. So we have two specific intelligence packs to address those scenarios as well. Sorry about that. So here, we have a system update assessment intelligence pack that we provide you guys out of the box. Might need to refresh this because my session timed out. And what you'll notice here is we give you some out-of-the-box views, such as telling you what servers have security updates that are missing, how many of them are missing updates over a certain period of time, and how many servers are missing a particular update as well. So for example, the security update for Windows 8.1, it seems like 6 of my servers are missing this update as well. And we also break it down into specific types as well. So you can look at how many security updates that are missing, how many service packs that are missing, so you can take some action on this data. Again, to do this in the traditional way, you might need to use SSRS and have this slow report that's generated. These are things that we do for you out of the box, and you can go and slice and dice it using some of our search functionalities as well. So here, for example, I can drill into this particular view. And what you notice is for this particular server, I can see all the all the security updates that are missing. And I can do some, you know, if I wanted to do some custom filters on this, I can do this pretty easily as well. So I can go and say, so if I just wanted to see the critical updates, I can do this really easy using the search functionality that Daniele showed and just filter it to see all the critical updates. So again, no longer needing to go and do custom reports or any of that. Using the simple search functionality we have, you can build these awesome views that you can provide and share with your team as well. Now, one of my favorite features that is added, and I call it batteries included feature. So I have two kids of my own. And the thing that's most frustrating for me is when I go and buy my son the Thomas, the tank engine, we come home, he takes out the wrapper, and then he finds that no battery is included in the toy, right? It's like the most frustrating thing for a parent. And the same thing over here with advisors, we wanted to make sure that the battery is always included with this product. And what I mean by this is now not only do you actually see the security update and you see the KBID, but we actually give you context on top of this. So what I mean by this is you can easily click a link and we'll take you directly to the KB article. So giving you context on your data, which is another big ask I know a lot of you guys had. So I wanted to thank the product team for getting that in last week. So I want to give them a quick round of applause. For my last scenario I'm going to show you is about malware assessment. So security is a big concern for a lot of us in the enterprise space, and we wanted to take a proactive step in this area as well. So here, for example, if you have Windows Defender or the Forefront client, we actually go and query that data and provide you insights on that data. So for example, I can tell you what server has malware on it, or how many servers have, you know, some sort of threats detected. Some number of servers that are not reporting any data. If a server doesn't have Forefront client or Windows Defender on this box, we provide you all these analytics on top of your data from a security angle as well. So again, I hope you take advantage of this limited preview that we have. We provided some great functionality, and we're looking forward to getting more feedback from you guys. Thank you.
You like it? Yeah? Awesome. Okay, so you know you're getting to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I mentioned, one of the most important things to us is feedback. And we actually gave a preview to our MVPs, is it a week before? Is it just a week before, Satya? This is a week before. And on the call, they were giving us one feedback that says, you know, this is great, you know, you bring this stuff to the cloud, and, you know, they actually love it. And what they said was, well, how are you integrating this back into SCUM? And it's one of those, like, stump the speaker moment where we're kind of, like, so heads down building this thing. And we couldn't describe kind of, like, how we would do that. And Daniel and I were, like, kind of, like, chatting on IM on the call. And after the call, we were saying, like, you know, that's not good. Let's respond to their challenge. So Daniel and I, and we grabbed Eugene, and we ran to Daniel's office and tried to hack something together and see if, you know, kind of like it works. So we spent about half a day hacking this together, and I just love making Daniel wait and wait and wait. You only got like 6 minutes left. You make me wait like so long yesterday, so I'm just loving the moment. I just want to wait, make him wait like 2 more seconds. Okay. Yeah, I think I got enough.
All right.
Suffering.
Thanks,
from you.
Man, I'm going to suffer for talking about his pink shirt. Yeah, so hack's a good term. I like proof of concept. What I want to show you here is some of the work that we can bring Advisor together using the extensibility widgets I showed you yesterday. So here's a quick demo where I have a list of computers here, and what I'm doing at the bottom widget is I'm actually making a call out to the search pane in an Advisor. So I'm going to use the Operations Manager data to drive context from the data I get in Advisor. So very easily I can click on a computer name, and what you'll see is we will run that search query for the particular computer name and bring the data back into the Operations Manager console. Simple's hard, right? But yeah, this is a proof of concept, something we're working on, and where we'll, based on your feedback, if you like it, we'll see if we can bring it to you pretty soon.
Do you not want to show the code a little bit just to give them, like, just show that how easy it is?
Yeah, this is the same, very similar script that I showed yesterday for making a call out to Bing. So we have a PowerShell script here that takes the selected parameters and then pumps it out to the search query and Advisor.
This is awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Daniel.
2 minutes.
Very nice. Okay, so I just want to wrap up on a few points. One is that, again, feedback. So I just want to visit that. Anywhere in the advisor page, you will see this prominently placed feedback button here. Now, I encourage you to click on it, okay? It's not about, like, just, you know, entering something. It's actually a community. It's a community. You know, whenever you want to learn something, when you want to see something new, or just want to talk to the product team, right? You can just talk to us anytime. We're here with you, you know, most of the business hours, trying to, like, do some work-life balance here with the team. I want to say 24/7, but, you know, here's something that you can, like, look up and say, for example, we have been watching the feedback yesterday, and a lot of people were getting stumped on trying to add the capacity intelligence pack. And one of the things is our bad, we forgot to mention that there's a dependency on the VMM, is the VMM connector to Ops Manager? VMM connector to Ops Manager that is required to gather the capacity data from VMM to bring up to advisor. So if you're getting stumped on some topic, you can just type capacity in here, right? Search for it, and you can see that there's an article about this on prerequisites. You can see comment about this and so forth. Like, you know, Denali actually entering one and bashing, you know, ourselves on, like, you know, this should have been documented. I guess it's better to slap our own face than to wait for someone else to do it. And another way to use this is, let me come back here and do it again. If you have a suggestion, let's say, man, I wish I can collect from the IIS logs. Well, let's just type the office and say IIS. Well, guess what? Someone already suggested this, which is great, save you a lot of time in terms of typing this up. And you can see that actually Denali can tell you what status is this in. Like, it's already under review, we're looking at it. And if you really want to make sure that this gets implemented fast, vote on it, okay? Just remember to vote on it. And you can see the detail on this more here and so forth, okay? And you can also, if this is actually not what you meant by IIS, you can actually post a new idea and you can just, you know, type it up, describe your idea, pick a category, post it, and that's all there is to it. And someone else would then vote on it, and we get to respond on it, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a very vibrant community. So this is something that I just want to emphasize. Now, really quickly, I want to go back to, where the heck am I? There's so many things on this table. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Again, visit iwantadvisor.com. Tigran, like, literally just bought this domain on Tuesday. We thought is a great way for you to remember the site rather than preview.systemcenteredadvisor.com. So we thought this is easier to remember. And this is for TechEd audience only. We're going to pull it down after TechEd, and so you don't get to have this, like, reserve spot type of thing, you know, forever. And even if you do reserve it here, it's only for up to 1 week. Okay, again, we've already hit our target that we want, so we're looking to close the preview program soon to kind of limit it. Those who have signed on will get to use it for a long, long time, okay? Nobody has been clicking those slides. Okay, roadmap, that's what I want to get to really quick. 33 seconds. So what I want to tell you is that we built more intelligence pack. The three that you saw is not it. They were just the beginning, right? They're just the oddest couple. Like, what the heck? Capacity, malware, and some patch. You know, we're just tactically getting the ones that we thought there's a gap in and trying it out with you, okay? But we will build more. Also, direct server attach, direct Windows server attacks. Currently, we require Ops Manager. Ops Manager will remain to be the best-in-class way to onboard your advisor. Always will be, okay? But if you have, like, some labs, you have some environment where you know, monitoring is not covered because it's not really a production environment, and you want those data pulled into advisor anyway, we'll give you a way. We're working on that. And Another item that we're looking into is to allow you to create your own custom intelligence. Don't you like those beautiful dashboards with the custom intelligence in there? Wouldn't you want to put your knowledge into those intelligence packs and share it with your colleagues or even publish it with the community? Well, we're working on that. There will be a way. And finally, we'll add more search features, more search commands, more data sources, more visualization, better experience, and so forth. We'll keep improving this. So, again, try this out. That's all I have. Thank you very much. And we'll take questions up here.